Jesus Christ or Christ the Lord. But there's just part of me that wants to say, bring it back to Jesus. I don't mind you saying Christ, but I'm waiting on somebody to bring it back to Jesus. I like to hear the name Jesus. Amen. It's just something about the name. He put his power in there, his authority in there. Amen. This service tonight is the first one. Twice a month, our young people will start in the annex, which they did. And we got a good crowd in here because our youth are out there and we're still good in here. Now our children are being dismissed to their classes. And you may be seated, by the way. But anyway, they'll do that twice a month and kind of a trial thing to see how it works. And I know they're having a good time. Normally what the youth would do is at this time they would be dismissed. And they'd go in there at about 5 till 7, 10 till 7, and or 8 rather, yes, 8. Numbers don't mean a lot to me. It's just they're interchangeable. And at 7:30, we're 8:30, we're dismissing. And so they're hardly getting going in there before it's time for them to check out and close the class down. And so they want that extra time, and I don't blame them. I would too. And so anyway, I think that's awesome. And our youth is growing, the class is growing, and the annex is looking more like a place they want to be and looking kind of cool. And we ordered a pulpit kind of thing, a podium, real cool-looking podium, and got it in today. And so the anointing will have to be even more so by that because it's just that it's that cool. Oh, my, we're looking south, and my wife and I got a FaceTime message from Sister Brian, and she's showing the update on the building, and they're just giving us pictures and videos constantly. And I don't know how big that thing is, but it is not the typical church in Haiti. They've really put some properties and some cinder blocks and some, it's going to be massive. And it is going definitely going to be two floors. And the school's going to be top floor. The church will be the bottom. And the church will be a multi-use auditorium, which that's how they should do it. It's smart. And so there's going to be the orphanage, and then there's going to be the church, and there's going to be the school. And so it works out great. But it is looking great, looking so good. I'm thankful for this church. And in the process of preparing to purchase this building, we stopped, time out, and we gave money to build a church in Haiti. And the transition into this building was so smooth. I mean, just we were able to afford what we needed to do. And I believe 100% that God allowed us to put seed money in a needy place and say, we're going to do that, and then the Lord's going to do this. And God always comes through. Amen. I want to, Brother Sonia, I gave you my scriptures, but I have a couple of more that I'm going to go to. And I'm going to go to, in the ESV, I'm going to read Luke 11 and beginning. I'm sorry, Luke, yeah, 11 and verse 11. And I'm going to go verse 11 through 13. And I was just, while we were worshiping and the Lord was moving, I just kind of felt that this would kind of be better to introduce my thought tonight, Bible study. Jesus is saying, what father among you? And when he says father, he just means you dads. He said, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Unless dad's a practical joker and son knows he's a practical joker, you know, that might work out. But if he's just saying, dad, I'd like a big piece of that fish right there. Will your dad go and say, I'm going to go catch you a viper. I'm going to catch you a snake. I'm going to scare you to death. No. What dad would do that? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? I mean, he's using the extremes to make his point. And the obvious answer is no. No, if your son asks you for a drink of water at night or a piece of bread, even some peanut butter on it, you're going to give him that because you're a dad. You know that. If then you then, who are evil, which he means not godly, not of God, you know, that to that degree, we're not angelic creatures, we're of the earth, earthly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? And that point right there is, that's where we get to reach into that basket, that how much more, How much more? It depends on your faith and what you're asking for. How much more? How much more? Where is your limit? Where is your limit with God? How much more would you? So we understand he's given us something very easy. If you know how, with your wisdom, earthly wisdom, and it only goes so far. I mean, we are of the earth, earthly, and when we're filled with God's Spirit, it does enhance and bless us in so many ways. And we can have the mind of God, meaning that spiritual directive or positioning of God, but we don't have all of God's thoughts and wisdom. But we can redeem ourselves to some degree because we're enhanced by, blessed by God's wisdom. But how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, He's talking here of the Holy Spirit. In another place, He's talking about just whatever He wants to give you. God will give you what you ask for. If you can give your son what he asks for, God will give you something that you've asked for. How much more? And I want to talk about, this is just to title this to kind of keep me focused on this one central theme, is the power of a prayer meeting. The power of a prayer meeting. Not just a prayer, but when we say prayer meeting, we mean we're meeting to pray. We're meeting for prayer. And a prayer meeting should be labeled as, when you leave, that was powerful. Now, that's good to say we felt the Lord. I believe God gives us those little pushes, those little encouragements along the way, but it's to give me faith that when I walk out of a prayer meeting, when I go and face the dilemma that I was praying about, I don't lose heart. I've been picked up to a level that when I walk out of there, I can face my giant and say, "You're going down. Not by my power, not by might or power, but you're going to do it by the Spirit of God, amen, that dwells in us, and you're going to have to go down." And we speak to things. We speak to mountains. And we're going to break provision. We're going to see provisions here that God has for us in many ways, because not every time that I pray that prayer of faith is it perfect faith. Amen. There's a time I pray for God to do things, and He does it. And I know that when He did it, I was believing Him, but I still had my doubts. Seriously. Let's be human here. Because if we pretend that we have got this perfect faith and never is a doubt in our minds, and we went through there and we conquered, and our humanity doesn't show, then others might be put off and say, "Well, how are y'all doing that? So how are you doing it so easy? I don't understand that." First day, I went to a gym at the boys' club with my brother Jerry, and I saw a boy from my church in that gym at the boys' club. He was in the same grade I was. We were both in first grade. He was just right across the hall at Miss Cooper's class. But he was like this tall to me. I mean, his head. I came back from getting hit by a motorcycle. I was out a couple of weeks, had stitches, and you know, all the class surrounded me because I had stitches, and that was a cool thing in that age. And David walked up and looked down on my head and said, "Ooh, I can see the scar." And I remember when he did that, I thought, he is so tall that he can look down on my head and see a scar. I wish I was big like David. And this was his first year in first grade. I mean, it wasn't like he was in there several years. He was my age. We walked into the boys' club, and I said, "There's David Wayne." And David had one of them dodgeballs. And he ran up, and he slammed that ball sidearm, and it just reverberated off the back wall. Boom! And he was lighting it up, and I was going, "How in the world?" I just felt so inept. So I grabbed a ball, and I ran up there, and it just kind of... Some guy runs over here and just kind of catches it. He says, "You're out." I was like, well, that didn't last long. I just wanted to be big like David. It made me feel so weak when I saw that there's these people out there that were so much bigger and stronger than I was. And I really don't know how in the world that all happened, him being the same age I was and not, a little bit taller. But it made me feel I didn't really want to play that game anymore. The same thing can happen if we see people that we have esteemed as like superheroes spiritually, and we think we'll never attain to where they are. But God has such an awesome way of putting us all on the same ground, same level. We're all human. Every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us have doubts and fears. Every one of us got here because somebody helped us get here. Amen. Without the grace of God, none of us would be here right now. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Amen. It's not like, boy, they really got it together. They look like they got it together, but they were a mess too at some point this week or last week. Am I telling the truth here? We dress up and come to church, and we have this persona that we really should have. We need to look our best, be our best, speak our best, but we've all gone through the mill in just the last several days. For some reason or another, we've hit a wall and said, why is life this way? So we're being real, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Amen. So I want to go to Acts 4 and verse 31. When they had prayed, and this was right out of the gates. The church was in its infancy, and this was after Pentecost, and they had some great things going on, and all men had everything in common, and it was just a great coming together. And when they had gone and got a little trouble, and they came back together and said, let's regroup and let's have a prayer meeting. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, we would assume those that were filled were refilled, but we would also assume that they brought some with them that just got caught up in the swell and went into that room with them, and God filled some others with the Holy Ghost, because we know that there were so many, 5,000 added after that initial outpouring of 3,000, and so here they are again being filled. And so after Pentecost, what you see throughout the book of Acts is the church prayed at every turn. Anything was wrong, they said, let's go pray about it. Let's go have a prayer meeting. Everything pointed them into a prayer meeting. And let me tell you, a prayer meeting is something anyone can have with a group, with an individual, or by yourself, because you're meeting to pray. And there's something powerful about a prayer meeting where two or three are gathered together in my name. He goes, I'm right there. You just get together in my name, I'm there. He didn't say, you're going to feel. There was never a scripture that tells you you're going to feel anything. That's two great things about that. Number one, it's wonderful when you do feel the presence of God. Number two, don't feel bad when you don't feel the presence of God. Do not go on feelings, amen. I have been to points and places in prayer and in serving God that I didn't feel a thing. I could preach here and people felt something and I didn't feel anything. I prayed zero here, 100 somewhere else. And it might have to do with my mind. I'm going through things mentally. I'm just trying to work something out or physically sick or weary in my body. You can't take that human frame, body, soul, and spirit and think it's going to be 100% all the time, because many are the afflictions of the ones that are doing right. We suffer things, amen. And so, you know, I think we've got enough sense to know when we're not what we need to be. If you don't, just keep coming to church and the sermon will find you. And it will uproot you and you'll walk out like, I hope no one saw that. God has a way of doing that in a wonderful way. God is a gentleman. He's not in the business of embarrassing people. I thank God for that. But the church prayed at every turn. In Acts 11 and 28, we'll see that the Spirit helped the church here prepare for a famine. The Bible says in verse 28, then one of them named Agabus stood up, and he showed by the Spirit. Now, I think something to learn here is Agabus stood up not to say, y'all check me out, watch what I can do. They understood that he was about to speak something only by the Spirit of God. God has moved on me. He might have said something like that. And I feel led of the Holy Ghost to tell you this. He stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. He said it, but they said yes. History proved it out. It happened just sometime later, a few years later. But the reason he said it was so the church could get ready and provide and prepare. There are miracles in the days gone by where people in prayer meetings would be alerted to some things that was coming down, to a storm that was approaching. They'd be alerted to something. This was before the days of weather and so forth that we had. And they would just be alerted in the Holy Ghost. And they would feel troubled. And you listen to the stories of our grandparents and, you know, that were godly people. And they had these prayer meetings. And God would deal with them. And they would feel and they would tell somebody, I feel in the Holy Ghost. And it would be confirmed by somebody else. Now, technology, my wife and I downloaded an app here. It's called Storm. And it'll tell you what's happening. 50 miles around you, 100 miles around you. You can ask for thunderstorms, lightning, hurricanes. And it's got the track of that hurricane. The easiest thing I've seen, I go online and try to see what it's doing. And this app here just tells me, here it is. So never mind, Lord, we got it covered. No, think about this. I don't feel bad that I can look at this. Because it allows me to pray correctly and say, God, please keep us from that. Let Jacksonville have it. No. I'm saying, let's get it off out into the water. But at the same time, it's awkward talking about that because I know God can save us through a storm. I realize I said it earlier. But we've got so much technology that gives us answers. But that same technology is causing this world to spin faster and faster, so to speak. And so the same rushing forward that shows us things that we don't have to walk in the Spirit to know, that same technology presses down upon us daily, causing us to call out on God's name for help in other areas because it's a fast-paced society. It's not the way it was when my mom stayed home and she cooked breakfast, and then if I wasn't in school yet, it was lunch, you know, simple lunch, sandwich, whatever. But she cooked my dad a full meal at dinner time every day because mom stayed home. And if I was at school and I got sick, mom come pick me up and take me back home. And mom was home. A lot of places, moms were home. And y'all grew up, many of you grew up in that environment. Mom was home. Had a lot of things to do. Mom had chores. But she was home. And as society has changed since the 60s and 70s and so forth, moms are working, having to work. Not like moms are trying to be liberated. It's like they've got to pay bills. I mean, you just there's this race, and we're all caught up in it. And so we realize things change through the years. Things change. But the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the wisdom of God keeps pace with every bit of that. And God always has a way to show His love, mercy, and His power to the church. In Acts 16 and 11 through 15, Paul was drawn to a place where people prayed. And I love this here. And it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And there was a woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. What you're seeing there in those few verses is how the church began in that city. That was where God had drawn them to this place and said, you need to come over to Macedonia. And it was the Macedonian call. He said, there was an angel in a vision saying, come over here, we need you. So Paul went there and said, we're going to go where we know people are praying and get started there. Now, you can go hang out at the bars and there's people there too, but he needed to get a church started. So he went where people were already praying. And think about this. They didn't know about this apostolic life. They didn't know about the power of the Holy Ghost, but they knew there was a God and they were there praying. So Paul said, let's go where people are looking for what we have to give them. Let's go where people are praying, which shows you this. If we can just get to a place, whatever we're going through, that we can just pray. You never know who God is leading down the road to come to you or what circumstance God is bringing into your dilemma. And he's going to lift you up and carry you out because you're praying. But it's when we neglect that part right there that's very key right there. And I like this, and again, Brother Sonia, I'm going off a little bit of the notes. I'm going to Acts chapter 12, and this is about Peter in prison. And let's go up to verse 6. Herod was about to bring him out that very night. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers in the jail, bound with two chains and sentries before the door guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. Get up quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel talked to him and said, you need to dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. He went out and followed him and did not know that what he was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So he's like, I'm in a vision. I'm seeing a vision. It's all a dream, but I'm just going to go for it and see where it ends. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened of its own accord. And that would be strange then. It wouldn't be strange now. Doors do that. Then it didn't. And that had to be strange. But again, he says that's part of the vision. They went out and went along one street. Immediately, the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. The story goes that he goes to a house. And what were they doing? They were praying. They were praying. They were praying. And I feel like that they were praying for him to get out of prison. Because Peter's the main guy and the main man is in prison. So that was the point of their prayer meeting. And when he knocks on the door and Rhoda comes to the door and he goes, it's me, Peter. And she turns around and says, it's his angel. And they said, it has to be his angel. It can't be him. Well, what are y'all praying about? We're praying that Peter gets out of prison. Well, he's at the door. No, it can't be him at the door, but we're praying that he gets out of prison. You see the dilemma here. He wants in the house. And he says, you got to believe it's me standing here. And they said, no, it must be his angel. They're trying to find excuses because it can't be the answer to our prayer. There's no way God can answer our prayer. So you realize, and this is a pretty important example here, because it's while the church group was together praying for something that in reality they did not believe it was going to happen on their own. And God took that weak faith that I pray with all the time. I'm sorry, I pray with faith sometimes that's not perfect. It's not all there. And I say, God, I believe you can. I know you will in the name of Jesus. And in my reasoning, I'm going, I hope so. I hope so. See, there's going to be a measure of humanity because you have flesh. But when we get together, let's just say it was like this. Say, if we started on this side of the room and God were able to hold a number of the percent of belief that each person had, and you know, and it'd be hilarious, but still, and I saw like a 2, a 3, a 4, a 13, a 19, a 1, a 4, 3, you know, I'm not prompting at anybody, you realize that. But all of those percentage numbers adds together, and it's enough. Now, this is human applying human things to God. It don't work, but I'm saying there would be enough of faith in everybody together to push this thing through. You know, it's like having a big, you know, party when you're kids and you're like, hey, everybody, what do you want? Let's order a pizza. Well, how are we going to pay for it? Well, let's see what we got. And you start taking a collection to see if everybody can pony up for a pizza. And if everybody's honest and dig deep, they're going to afford a pizza, right? That's kids. Teenagers will do that. But it didn't come from usually one. It's like, let's make this a collective situation. When we come together, church, it's that one-mindedness that by myself, by yourself, I don't know. I believe it can happen, but is it going to? I don't know. I believe he can. That's our faith. I think God can. Do you really believe he is going to? I know God can do it. But you take that and put it with somebody else that's just like you. And God doesn't hold us accountable to the doubt. It's like he just takes that faith part and says, because you were grouped together praying it, I'm going to answer your prayer. Amen. I got water. Got coffee. So I'm going to set this water here, and I'm going to put this coffee right here. And I'm going to have a cup of coffee in a minute, right? That'd be great. It's almost, you can almost do that now. But the water has to be pressed through the coffee. And the water being pressed through the coffee, I hope we don't have to find this out, but we may find out in the next few days that it's got to be hot. And if you don't have hot water, you're not going to have coffee in the morning, if you know. But I hope we don't have that. But water, hot water at a certain temperature, around 190 degrees, you know, I think, isn't that right, Jerry? About 190, 180, 204 is really premium, you know. And I think our Keurig is about 160. No, it's all right now. But you got to have hot water to get them that coffee flavor off those grounds. So you have to have something that heats it up. And it's got to be power that is constant. And it gets it to that place. And if it gets it to that temperature that is required, you will begin to leach off of those grounds that flavor that you so love and need and desire every morning, maybe every afternoon. So just having it's not one thing, but there has to be a temperature change. There has to be an intensity, a rise in intensity. Amen. I must hurry. When we come together and pray by ourselves, we can do things. But when we're together, there's so much more that we can do. It turns up the heat. God, notice what Jesus said. If your son asks you, he took a situation and put it right in your living room and said, everybody knows what it's like to, your kids are always asking for things, and they ask you for things at night just to get you in the room so they don't have to, you know, go to bed. Yeah, and they want a reason to get up. That's kids. And they don't even need a glass of water. They don't need a cookie or you know, they're starving. They know your heart is tender and you're going to let them get up. But still, as a parent, you're going to do something. He said, so how much more will your father do that? And so he's showing us by using an example that we can understand. And it's nothing wrong with that at all. We understand better through examples. And I believe today that through what we do, our concerted efforts of prayer, we see great things happen. Amen. I believe truly, and I think God has given me the reason to say this. In January, I truly believe we turned a corner in this church. I mean, we did great things before we got in the building and, you know, began to get it looking better and better. But January was so pivotal that we hit levels in January that we have not fallen back down from. We hit levels. I'm not talking about numbers. Numbers are great, but they're not the only barometer by no means. Matter of fact, they can be inflated numbers. In other words, you can have a lot of people and not have a church. And so that's why it's important that you have that intensity of worship and preaching and the power of God there at all times so that you can keep up with where God is really leading you, so that it's not just like we've got noise. We've got a lot of people. We need to match that with something that's actually about God, something that is godly, that's deity. It's the real thing, amen. Honestly, we can be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm's good. But enthusiasm is not God, but He gives us enthusiasm. We get excited, and that's all good. It is good. We need that. Volume is not anointing. Amen. We can preach louder, but it doesn't mean God's more in it. It just means we raised our voice. I remember a missionary. I wanted to remember his name. I asked a missionary the other day. I said, what's the missionary's name from France? And he told me. I said, yep, that's him. And my wife was there. I think his brother and sister, Brian, and they've been out there to preach for him. He came to our church when we was up the road at the other building, and he talked about this speed right here. And he's a small guy, about my size, a little older, and just talked like this. And as he preached that speed about like this, the Holy Ghost moved, and God anointed that man. He had an anointing in his voice and his words, and it just... I love that when it happens. It wasn't drummed up by our singing and music. It was just that God anointed His Word. And I just remember that, and I thought it was wonderful. And I love to see God move in situations like that. And I want to go one more reading, and this is going to be Acts 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awake from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" See, isn't that unique that he didn't say, "What in the world's going on and how did the prison doors open but nobody escape? Why is it that I'm not going to lose my job or have to commit suicide?" But what he came in and said, "What do I've got to do to be like you? Because I've been listening to your singing all night, and something, there's something in what you're saying. There's something about your worship. I want what you've got." God was working on the man, and all he needed was an open door, and the open door was the prison. And so symbolic that it's the prison of your soul, sir, and you're about to escape from sin and come into salvation. What an awesome, awesome situation that in a time where they're locked up in prison and seemingly there's no hope, God just puts a feeling on them. I think it'd be great to just start singing, Silas. Why don't we just sing that song we learned at that last revival and maybe add some lines to it. So they just start singing and praising God. And it's just in that condition. They weren't singing like, you know, "This is probably my last night to live. You know, we're going to die in the morning, there's no doubt. Oh, that's catchy. Let's put some verses to that. Maybe we'll get popular." Well, probably not, because we probably are going to die. It wasn't that at all. It was they were praising God. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That was his motto. Paul lived that way. But they had faith that whether God saves them out of it or into it, it doesn't matter. The will of God would be done. God can enhance our faith, and he can enhance our intensity at times so that, you know, we can rise to that boiling point and accomplish great things. But what I'm talking about tonight is the power of a prayer meeting. Amen. I'd like you to stand, and could we all gather to the front? We didn't do it earlier, but I want you to gather to the front, and I want to pray about a couple of things. And I've said it two or three times tonight. We might, you know, I would love for God to save us out of this storm and let the storm go away from us. But God is able, church, to save us through it. It can go right over our church, right over our head. Amen. We were here not very many months. I mean, just a little while, 4 or 5 months when we moved here in 95. And it wasn't a powerful hurricane, but one went right over Lakeland, caused a lot of water. It flooded a room in our house, and that was it, you know. But and since then, we've had several, and more than I think we really need. I'd like to have a break from them forever. But no loss of life. Some books got wet. A little bit of furniture got wet, but God kept us. What I want to pray for first, and this is being unselfish. Today, do we know the approximate number of churches just in our organization? 48. It was in the high 30s or 40s of churches that just are in our organization, because we had, you know, we were able to keep tabs on that, and that have suffered damage. I've spoken to friends. I mentioned this Sunday. I've spoken to friends and houses demolished and all of that. And it's beyond a scope of our understanding. And I know we can go on and on about how terrible it is. Church, I would like for us to bind together in prayer and pray for Texas and those churches, those families that are put out of a church, homes that they're trying to get back together. But let's say, God, not just people in the church. Lord, they got God. What about the ones that don't have God? See, this is the power of a prayer meeting, is we're going to pray beyond us, and we're going to pray about God bless and touch and be merciful. Can we do that right now? Your own words. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are binding together today in faith and understanding. Lord, we're grouping ourselves together, God, as a voice, a concerted voice, calling out on the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you would reach those in Houston area Beaumont, Orange, Nederland, Lumberton, Silsby, Groves, Texas. Lord, all those cities, Texas City, all those up the coast that have suffered great, great damage. And Lord, the factories need to get back up and running. The oil rigs need to get back up and pumping, Lord. The men need to go back to work. And the churches, they need to get back functioning. And I'm praying, God, that you would give them a sense, Lord, of peace, that they don't feel overwhelmed. Lord, I pray that you help their souls. Help them, God, to not lose heart. The average citizen, God, those that don't have a church, those that have no God to lean on, those, Lord, that are at their wit's end, I'm praying that you would send a revival of your presence and your anointing there, Lord, and let the peace that passes understanding cover that state, oh God. Lord, I pray like a storm that blew in, I pray now, God, that a presence of God would breathe upon them. Lord, a wave after wave of your glory and your compassion and your love. Hold them up, God, and keep them together in their mind. Keep them together in their spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask you, oh Lord, heal, send a healing balm. Send a healing balm in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. My God, you hear us. I know it. I know you hear us, God. Together we have enough faith. Together we know what we're saying God is going to answer. Together we bind ourselves knowing that this voice as one is going to get a hold of God, and you're going to be a merciful, kind, and generous Savior, and somebody's going to be lifted up from where they are. Oh, God, I pray, let your will be done. Father, let your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's islands already hit. We're going to pray for them. Puerto Rico is going to be hit, already feeling it. We're going to pray that God's protecting hand would be there. Help them to get back on track, get the infrastructure fixed quickly. And we're going to pray that God would touch South Florida. When that thing begins to hit, Lord, I'm praying that you would just pull it off. Pull it off, Lord, off into the waters of the Atlantic, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's be specific. Let's pray right now that God would touch those that's been hit there, but also protect the ones that are in the path, and that God would change the path of that hurricane. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are binding together, asking you, Lord, to touch the ones that have already received damages to their businesses, their hotels, their cars, their homes. Lord, that you would be there to the governments, the local authorities. Help them, God, to not lose their wits. I pray, give them courage, God. Give them, I pray, presence of mind to bear up under the burden. Touch, Lord, the island of Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, the island of Haiti and Cuba. Lord, let your hand be there to save souls. Lord, to save them from drowning, to save them from despair. Save them from despair, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, send your ambassadors, the angels of heaven. Send them there, God, to be helpers to those people, to pull them up from where they are, in Jesus' name. And I pray you would put angels down at the foot of this state, Lord, and allow them to just push this hurricane out into the Atlantic. Save us, Lord, I pray, from harm. Save us in Jesus' name, we pray. My God, you are able. You are able to save. And I know, God, if it does come near us, we know you're able to save us in the storm. I pray for your protection. I pray for your, give us mental strength and mental fortitude to stand against these things, God, that are coming our way. Oh, that we would give God the glory no matter what. That we would lift our hands afterwards and say, thank God. Thank God for the power of a prayer meeting. Thank you, Lord, for the power of binding together where two or three agree is touching any one thing. Lord, we're agreeing today. We're calling out on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Powerful Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this a couple of times through.
We've got the power.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.